Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, SJS, here on this Monday. It is Thanksgiving week, and I hope all of you take the time out to think of others, because there are so many that are less fortunate than we are. And at the same time, look around and be thankful for what you have. And I know that part of that is when we look around and we're thankful for what we have, it's our Sunbury Broadcasting family within, whether it's Sarah, Bob Buhner, Kevin Herr, Drew Kelly, Sean Carey. You know, we can go on and on and on about the people we're thankful for within this great organization. And I'm personally thankful for, because this is my first Thanksgiving working with all of them. And in this Thanksgiving week, there's a lot going on, football and basketball-wise, a lot going on. Niners and Bears coming up tonight. Jay Cutler will not play tonight. Jason Campbell will be the starting quarterback for the Bears in that one. Last year, the Bears went 1-5 when Cutler got hurt. And, of course, he suffered the concussion last Sunday against the Houston Texans. So that's the big one coming up tonight. And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, you can always go to LenapeSolar.com. A little bit later, schedule that Dave Paulson on the show after the big weekend at Niagara Falls. Now they get ready for the Nittany Lions Friday at 4:30 at the Jordan Center. Penn State making its way back from Puerto Rico after playing in the Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic. And those two go head-to-head in what should be one heck of a basketball game Friday at 4:30. The Nittany Lion football team, this is senior week. And, of course, all the great seniors, Michael Motti, Matt McGloin, Matt Stenkavage, Jordan Hill, Gerald Hodges, and on, Michael Zordich, on we can go, Stephon Morris. They've all had outstanding careers, and for the final time in their respective careers, they will run through the tunnel at Beaver Stadium when they take on Wisconsin. Wisconsin already knows it's going to Indianapolis and their second consecutive Big Ten championship game, but Penn State wants to close out all of this on a high note with a 3:30 kickoff coming up on Saturday. Airtime is set for 2 o'clock on Saturday on the Penn State Sports Network and News Radio 1070 WKOK. So lots of college basketball this week. Lots of college football this week. The NFL has three games coming up on Thanksgiving, and there's a game tonight, Bears and Niners. We have a lot to talk about today. Plus, we'll revisit the intrepid picks of Sarah Bartlett, Bob Buhner, Kevin Herr, and myself that we made on Friday. How did the gang do in week one? And this is only the beginning. We'll find out how everybody did in their predictions over the weekend. But first, on this show that's brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street and Sunbury, you can go to PurdyInsurance.com. It's time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Then stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com, the winning team.
It's important for all Americans to have health insurance.
Welcome. Great to have you on the show today. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. It's been a big day, a lot of news to get to. Coming up, Brett Bielema of Wisconsin at 3:35. Big Ten Maryland press conference at 4:06. Maryland officially joins the Big Ten in a 12-0 unanimous vote earlier today. Maryland is in. They begin play as a full conference member as July 1st, 2014. So the 2014 season is when Maryland is in. Step number two will be tomorrow. Rutgers will then announce that they are also joining the Big Ten. Their board of trustees will meet tomorrow on a conference call. That should take about 8, maybe 9 seconds. Once they're done saying, okay, we don't really feel like the $4.5 million from the Big East. We'd like the $25 million payout from the Big Ten. Once that's done, they're in. They also will join July 1st, 2014. Something about buyouts. Buyouts, the buyout in the Big East is $10 million, can be negotiated. The $50 million buyout in the ACC, which Maryland and Florida State both voted against when it originally came up, that's on the table. But again, that can be negotiated down. And also Under Armour, which is, by the way, enthusiastically off the board about, I mean, off the charts about going to the Big Ten, may help with that buyout fee anyway. So that's coming up. We have a lot to talk about today. Bucknell, there's plenty to talk about in basketball. We're joined by Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach of the Bison, who are now 5-0 in the season. Dave, congratulations. Tell me, what were the common themes that you saw in the tournament at Niagara Falls that just shows that you're building and getting better?
Well, you know, it was really gratifying to me. Our guys played so well, executing two really vastly different defensive game plans. We played a team in Niagara on Friday night that was averaging 14 made threes a game, spread you out, played four, sometimes five guards at a time, played really, really fast. They got off to they were up by 12 on us in the first half, and we really buckled down defensively and did a great job. And then the next night, we played New Mexico State with a returning WAC champion that's got a huge front line, one of the best offensive rebound teams in America, really wants to pound the ball inside. And we had to sag in the paint and double-team the post and do everything like that. And so for our guys in less than 24 hours to really play against two high-level athletic teams and play a different style each time and be effective was really gratifying.
Yesterday, you had five players, or the last game against West Alabama, you had five players off the bench play double-digit minutes. What have you seen from the bench group that allowed you the depth to get through a tournament like this?
Well, we needed that, and admittedly, our third opponent, West Alabama, was not, you know, not nearly of the caliber of the first four teams we played. You know, I thought we played four really good teams in Purdue and George Mason and Niagara and New Mexico State, and four really athletic teams. So it was good that we had, you know, a little bit of a breather, if you will, to allow us to play our reserves, because we have some guys in our team that have really played very, very well in practice in spurts, or maybe not as consistent as the guys who play the majority of our minutes. But we really wanted to be able to work with them and develop them, because if we're going to be really good at the end of the year, we're going to need two or three guys who are playing, you know, just spare minutes right now to really emerge and be able to really help us in big game.
Dave, you gave up just 49 points against New Mexico State. What does that tell you about a team that's understanding the concept of defense?
Well, I think, you know, I think these guys have really bought in. We've really stressed that we'll go as far as our defense takes us this year. And we really need to collectively pick it up, because we don't have the one individual stopper that we may have had in the past. And I think it really shows that our guys are bought into that. We're able to do more of a variety of things defensively in terms of our rotations and some of our coverages because of the maturity of our team and the experience of the guys. And so they're really bought in. Now, we know we're only as good as our next performance, so, you know, we know we have plenty of challenges ahead, starting with Penn State on Friday. But we're happy with the progress we've made up to this point.
Mike Muscala is going to get attention on every scouting report, which he has the last couple of years anyway. How does he handle that part of it? How pleased with you with his response to knowing that he is the guy that they look at right away as the number one guy they must stop?
Well, the thing that I loved was against Niagara, they were really manhandling him, and we weren't getting the call. He was not getting the calls. And, you know, one of the other coaches, a coach from New Mexico State, was there scouting. He said, boy, I was watching that game. I was sitting right there. They were manhandling the scout, and he didn't say a word. You know, he just played, and he just kept his composure. And, you know, then he got to follow a couple of calls, you know, when they put two hands on him and pushed him and shoved him. And then the next day against New Mexico State, when they're doubling him, you know, he found guys. I think he had 5 assists in that game. So, you know, he's unselfish, and he's just going to take what the defense gives him, and he just continues to mature every day.
You mentioned the 5 assists that he had. You have 4 players right now that either have 10 or 11 assists on the season. How do you feel about the way they're spreading the wealth among each other?
Well, it's not a selfish group. It's a veteran group, you know, guys with high basketball IQs, and nobody really cares who scores. You know, people might say that, and they may not actually mean it, but these guys mean it. They don't care who scores, and they're just happy if their teammates get the open shot. And so, you know, I think we're assisting on a high percentage of our baskets, and we have, you know, we don't have that one dominant playmaking person who's going to, you know, be hands down lead us in assists. We've got a lot of different guys who are willing and able to distribute the ball.
Bryson Johnson has hit 45% of his threes to this point. What has that meant to the offense, and also what has it meant actually inside as well for you, because he has been able to do that?
Well, he's played really well. Cameron Ayers has played really well from the perimeter. We had a guy named Ryan Frazier, a freshman, who really sparked us with 12 points against Niagara, kind of kept us in the game. And that opens things up for Mike and Joe Willman inside. And so that's really important. And Bryson really has the ability to hit some tough shots. And, you know, you want to get easy baskets. You want to run your offense. But sometimes against really good teams, you just got to hit a tough shot late in the possession when the shot clock's winding down. And he has an uncanny ability to do that and kind of bail us out at times.
Dave, how do you feel about the defensive rotation so far? It takes a while sometimes for teams to get rotations. How well is this team doing with it?
We're doing pretty well. You know, we struggled early in the first half against Niagara, but did much better. You know, I think the guys are understanding things. They're understanding the nuances based on how each individual team wants to attack us. You know, so that we're always playing our man-to-man defense, but it's flexible enough to take into account what the other team is trying to do and try to combat that.
You have Penn State coming up next. Initial thoughts on Friday's matchup?
Well, one, you know, we're excited to be playing the game, and very appreciative of Patrick Chambers for returning my calls, you know, and agreeing to play the series. You know, we tried for 3 years with no success. And, you know, Pat is just, you know, really accessible and just a great ambassador for Penn State. So, you know, one, we're excited about it. I think hopefully it's certainly everyone in this area is excited about the matchup, and hopefully the people in the State College area as well. I mean, you got 2 good basketball teams and 2 programs, I think, that reflect playing hard and playing unselfishly. So it's exciting. You know, we know it's going to be a challenge playing on their home floor. You know, we're just now, we didn't have to come as far as they are coming back, but we're in a little colder climate than they were as well. But I think we're just now starting to turn our attention towards Penn State. It's going to be a great matchup.
I just want to add, into the future, though, the fact that this is not only being played Friday, but the fact that there's a return game to Soika, which has never been a part of this mix, what does that mean to 2 schools that are 50 miles apart?
Well, again, all the credit goes to Pat Chambers because he didn't have to do that. You know, the thing that he told me is like, hey, I want to play you guys because you got a good big guy. We got to play against good big guys in the Big Ten. It's going to make us better. And he goes, and I want to come and play at your place because you got a hostile environment and crowd gets to know it. And we're going to have to play in hostile environments on the road. So, but it's great. I mean, you know, it's going to, when that game is, we're still finalizing what year the return game will be here in Soika. It's going to be an electric atmosphere.
I campaigned for it internally for a long time. Said, let's go Bucknell. And they're like, you know, so I'm glad it's going to happen. Can't wait to see you on Friday. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And to you and yours, your team, your family, Dave, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks so much, Dave.
All right. Dave Paulson. They are just on a roll right now. Off to a 5-0 start, playing some great basketball. Now, Buhner's in the house, but Buhner's getting killed on the show today because we got a lot going on, Buhner.
I haven't been awake or asleep since Friday morning. I've been on the go for 3 days, nothing but sports all the time.
I mean, we have Brett Bielema at 3:35. We have the Big Ten press conference coming up at 4:06. Then we'll let Buhner speak.
I'm ready.
I can tell. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. We'll come back with news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We have a lot to talk about today. First of all, Sarah, say hi.
I'm here.
Buhner?
I'm here, Steve.
It'll be the last you'll hear from either one of them for a while. All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio that Jack Ham nicknamed the Chateau. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. All right, news very quickly of the day. Number one, Michael Mahdi officially ruled out of the game Saturday against Wisconsin. He still has to have the MRI, but he is Bill O'Brien officially ruled him out today. That's one. Tim Frazier still needs an MRI in his ankle. As to whether or not he'll be available or the extent of his ankle injury and whether or not it's an Achilles. They're checking that when they finally get back today. They are traveling en route from Puerto Rico to State College today. So that's the next one. Number three in all this is the fact that Maryland voted today, the Board of Regents, to accept the invitation of the Big Ten, approved by the Big Ten, 12-0. Maryland is in. Now, at the press conference that you will hear today, you will hear nothing about anything except Maryland being in. You will not hear about divisional changes and so forth. Here's the reason why. Rutgers is not officially in yet. They vote tomorrow. Then you will start hearing about what they're going to do with divisional play. I will now tell you what they're going to do. Okay? We'll do this my way. Okay. But I'll tell you what they're going to do because they can't deal with a hypothetical until there's an official vote. And they don't want to do it the same day. They want Maryland to have its day. They want Rutgers to have its day. That's what they want. This is how it's going to work. Maryland and Rutgers will both be in the same division with Penn State. They will be in the leaders division with Penn State. Illinois will make the switch from leaders to legends starting in 2014. So starting in 2014, it'll be Penn State, Ohio State, Purdue, Indiana, okay, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Rutgers. Those will be the seven teams in the leaders division starting in 2014 when they're all officially in. Illinois will go to the legends division. The next question is, will the crossover game will stay? I can tell you right now, yes. Why? Come on, Bob, you know the answer.
Would that have to do with a Ohio State-Michigan game and a few others?
Exactly right. No, that's the only one. Okay. No, because listen to how this lays out, Bob. Listen to how it lays out, all right? Michigan and Michigan State are already in the same division.
Right.
Okay? Ohio State and Penn State are already in the same division. Illinois, when they switch over, will be in the same division with Northwestern.
So that eliminates that crossover.
Right. So there's no cross. I mean, so now the exciting crossover games, such as Michigan State, Indiana, you have to be kidding me, are certainly on, but that's all because they want Michigan and Ohio State to keep playing each other. So when the question is about the crossover game comes up, the answer is yes, that stays. Penn State will continue to play Nebraska. Okay?
Good move.
Which then brings up the next one. Okay, and this is the big one. Will the Big Ten go from 8 to 9 conference games? I think they will. Because now you're obligated to 6 teams in your division and a crossover game. So you notice the order I went in this thing.
Yes.
Okay, there's an order as to how the Jones mind works. Okay, 6 plus 1 is 7. That means you only have one other game you'd play against the other division. It would take you home and away 12 years to play everybody. Thus, I think they go to 9 games, keep it with 2 additionals. That way it takes 6 years to play home and away against everybody.
Well,
voila. That means now for an athletic director. What does that mean for Dave Joyner, Fran Gannor, Bill O'Brien scheduling going forward? That means in the years that you have four home games in the Big Ten, you must have all three of your non-conference games be at Beaver Stadium. In the years that you have five home games in the Big Ten, you then have the flexibility of two at home and one on the road. So take a hypothetical of an Alabama. You would have to schedule an Alabama, for example, to be at Beaver Stadium, okay, the year you have four Big Ten games at home. You can play in Tuscaloosa the year you have five Big Ten games at home because you need the seven home games financially. So that's what it comes down to. You're saying, why Maryland, why Rutgers, why now? 12 is a far better workable number than 14, without question. Without question. But Maryland with the Baltimore-Washington metro area and New Jersey bring in 16 million additional households. If you are in a non-Big Ten state, you are paying 12 cents of your cable bill to carry the Big Ten network. If you're in a Big Ten footprint state, it's triple. The math financially works. Jim Delaney, when it comes to the ability to make money and to cut deals, and the Big Ten television deals expire in 2017, and he is about ready to knock one way over the fence.
These are huge, staggering numbers of dollars we're talking about.
Staggering, okay? Because now you're talking about, by the additions that they have made, okay, Nebraska gave them 12 and they paid for themselves because when you got the Big Ten championship game, that was that's a $25 million game. So Nebraska paid for itself right away by showing up, okay? And now it looks like if they win this week, they'll play in the game, okay?
Yeah. Not all bad right? for joining.
That's right, but it's $25 million for everybody for a Big Ten championship game, okay? So Nebraska pays for itself right away. Maryland and Rutgers, in conjunction with Penn State, now give the Big Ten Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, Washington. They have locked up five, along with Chicago, six. Detroit makes seven. Minneapolis makes eight. Okay, Columbus, I think, is now a top 20 market as well. Okay, you have nine of the top 25 markets in the country in your own backyard, in your footprint. And that is what knocks it out of the park in TV negotiations.
The only thing that I have, and I have a simple question, will they continue to call it the Big Ten when it's
yes.
the Big Four? They're not going to get rid of the name, the Big 20, no. the Big 17.
No, the Big 10 is a corporate name, okay? In other words, it is a corporate name, like Wise is a corporate name,
sure.
like 3M is a corporate name, Boeing's a corporate name. Big 10 is actually, it's the Big 10 Conference Incorporated, okay? The
right.
Big 10 is a corporate name. It is not a number.
No, I appreciate that. I was glad you explained that. I think... you and I had the conversation about how I already thought you were a lawyer, and you proved it once again. You have a better grasp of the legal issues than I do.
Right. But that's the reason why it's called that.
Yes.
You know, there's actually there'll actually be 15 schools in the Big Ten, all right, because the University of Chicago is still a conference member because they are in for the academic part. So now let's transition to that. And I know I got to get to Brett Bielema here in a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know as a sports show, we will talk about all the sports parts because some natural rivalries for the first time ever set up for Penn State in all this, okay? In basketball, football, and so forth, okay?
Yes.
And, okay, that sets up. But there's an academic component to this as well. When Nebraska was invited, they were a member of the AAU, okay? The academic AAU. Since then, they've lost that accreditation. They're trying to regain it. Maryland and Rutgers are both members of the AAU, and to Big Ten presidents, that is gold. That means a lot to conference presidents. That research, development, and sharing is important, and the University of Chicago is a part of that. They're the 15th school.
And they are one of the great academic institutions in the country that doesn't have a D1 or D2 football team.
Right. And I mean, and so, I mean,
but
that's,
they are academics.
Right. But academically, they were a football team, a football program with Amos Alonzo Stagg as their coach,
yep,
in the Big Ten for many years. They dropped football, but they kept the academic association. So actually, they are still a part of the Big Ten as the 15th member. They don't participate in any sports. But in terms of the academic sharing consortium, they're deep and in. Their vote counts.
Steve, what do you think that does to Notre Dame?
Notre Dame's in the ACC. I mean, and I think for Notre Dame in the end, they end up being in the ACC full bore by the time the decade's out. I really believe that. I think the ACC, you know, that move, you know, I knew that move to the ACC was going to be a plus for the ACC and was going to end up being a partial detriment. Because any time you announce somebody that they dictated their own terms and that they're in for everything but they're out in one sport, right, I would never, never accept a program that does that. Never. And I know Notre Dame is a great program, right?
Absolutely are.
Okay? But I look at them and say, look, you can't play by separate rules. You can't. You can't play by different rules than everybody else.
And I think this, if Penn State, Michigan goes to the 8-9 games that they'll have to play with the, yeah, addition of Rutgers and Maryland, what does that do for Notre Dame, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Michigan, those matchups?
Well, suddenly Notre Dame, Michigan's falling off the board.
Yeah.
Expect the ACC to counter the loss of Maryland by inviting UConn. All right, and that would give them Syracuse, Pitt, UConn, BC. They would have natural rivalry set up. UConn, I think, will be a target for the ACC to make up for this. All right, Brett Bielema, let's get some brief comments from him, his press conference earlier today, and then we'll get back to a lot more of this conference talk here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Didn't give out MVPs after a loss, but after watching the film, there were a lot of guys probably that might have played, especially a couple seniors, might have played their best games of their careers. Really felt that our guys, for the entire game, four quarters and beyond, strained, fought, tried as much as they could do, obviously came up short, so very tough one to swallow. gave them Sunday to get a jump start on Penn State. We have today off, and then we'll jump into tomorrow's practice. I think it's important for us to know that we're at the end of a 12-game stretch here where you've battled their all. They've got to a 7-4 mark, and those four losses have been very, very difficult, very hard-fought games that just a break here or there could be in the other direction. So I think the mental fatigue as well as the physical fatigue is real. So I think as a head coach, I got to be really smart about what we ask guys to do this week, especially with the Thanksgiving week and all the scheduling things that brings. So about Penn State, very good football team, probably very easy to see that they've gotten better every week, offense, defense, special teams. I think their coaches get more and more familiar with what they can bring to the table, especially on the offense side of the ball. So a tremendous challenge for us. Injury-wise, Robbie Havenstein had a MRI, was kind of confirmed what the doctors thought, mild MCL sprain. So hopefully get him back midpoint this week. And then Chris Borland, just saw him this morning up in the offices, is feeling very, very well. He'll get in the pool and do some more running here today, and then hopefully see where he can be tomorrow for tomorrow afternoon's practice. And with that, open up for questions.
Brett, how emotional do you think it'll be for Penn State, given all they've been through in their last home game? And then you talked about how much you guys have invested in the last three games. Do you worry about matching that emotion?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can never want to comment on another team's status, but you know, Penn State, it's going to be their senior day, but it's the last game for everybody. They know they're not doing anything beyond this weekend, so it'll be an emotional push that I'm sure is very, very strong. We've got a great stadium, a great fan base, so it'll be a very tough venue. And then our guys have had a lot invested in every game this year, and the part that I've kind of said all along is they're a very resilient group, and they showed me that Saturday when they lost out on the fourth down conversion and be able to get it back in the end zone in a minute and 33 seconds. So it's a group I know will bounce back.
Jesse. Brett, are there any plans to limit guys just with this game? You know, you guys are already going to the Big Ten championship game, and so are there any plans to?
No, if the guy's healthy coming into this game, you know, obviously depending on how the web and flow of the game goes, but no plans to hold anybody back.
Jeff. Brett, I know Kurt is a fifth-year senior, but he started two games, and is in some ways, is he like a freshman quarterback who is not yet seeing things quickly enough, getting the ball out as quickly as he would like, and still not comfortable with everything he's seeing in the heat of the game?
I think so, Jeff. You know, it was his second start, and it was a senior day. It was at home, and probably the biggest game of the year this year, you know. And I think I said it on Saturday. He's going through the things that a first-year quarterback, whether it's, you know, I think he has some advantages because he is a fifth-year senior, but it's still what you go through as a first-year starter. You know, there's just certain things that you, whether it be, you know, varying the snap count, whether it be, you know, taking a call from the sideline, whether it be an adjustment at the line of scrimmage, whether it be seeing a receiver open and having the confidence to actually throw it. So, yeah, I think there are those things, and Kurt, I think, would admittedly say so.
There's a stat on here that says the last eight losses from this team have been by a touchdown or less. There's so much is made in sports about being clutch in those situations. What do you think has prevented this team from winning those games that could go either way?
Well, I think if you want to do your due diligence, you know, check the ones that we've won by a touchdown or less, because there's been a lot of those too. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. I think there's opportunities where we've taken advantage of some things down the stretch and been able to win games. And on the flip side, if you don't take advantage of, you know, maybe a touchdown throw here, a tackle here, that's what gives you a loss. So it's a little bit of both.
Okay. Brett, when you came here as defensive coordinator, you always talked about putting stress on a quarterback physically and mentally. And I'm just curious what you guys were able to do with Braxton Miller, who said after the game, I don't know what they did, but they did it really well. Are there any similarities to what you guys did against Kyle Orton in 04 when you went down there? I think you played a 4-2-5 that game. Probably different, but it appeared that the success was similar.
Yeah, I was really, going into the week, the preparation that our defensive coaches laid out, the plan that they laid out, thought it used our personnel very, very well. Obviously, with the, you know, with Chris, we knew pretty much during the course of the week it was going to be nip and tuck to get him back out there, and if it was, didn't know how long it would be. So they made the decision to go with the nickel package. And, again, because of the quarterback Braxton is, you couldn't bring a low-out pressure, the physical pressure, but you needed to keep him restrained and in the pocket and keep him from creating plays. So, yeah, two different games, but I can see the similarities what you're talking about. And I do believe there was a mental and a physical pressure that we wanted to apply to number five all day.
Jess? I know the focus this week is Penn State, but I was hoping to get your thoughts on possible Big Ten expansion. Have you heard anything about it?
I just was informed on the way over.
I mean, do you think is it strange when you hear, you know, a Maryland or a Rutgers could enter the Big Ten, or what's your take on that?
You know, I play the schedule they put in front of us, but I do understand. I think there's a tremendous value in the East Coast markets, you know, and I understand television and all that stuff. You know, it's way beyond what a head coach thinks about, but, you know, I think that, you know, on the East Coast, when we are recruiting out there, probably more so Rutgers than Maryland right now, at least football-wise. We do go against Rutgers quite a bit in recruiting. And when we're in, you know, New Jersey, New York, even in the, on the eastern side of the country, you know, in Florida as well, we go against Rutgers quite a bit. So that part must be real. I'm excited every time the commissioner and the athletic directors have come up with a plan. It's been very, very positive, so I'm assuming this will be as well.
Back to the defense for a second, Brett. That third down package with the six guys and the two-point stance, it seems like Charlie and Chris have been pretty creative with that, and they've been able to tweak it week to week with some different looks. Have you been pretty pleased with what you've got out of that?
I have. You know, there's an element to it when those guys are in that position that they could be rushing or dropping. They're very athletic. I think they're taking advantage of our skill sets there. Some guys that, you know, we probably have a little bit more of those in-between guys. We're not real big up front, but we have a lot of guys that can run and, you know, create some plays with their feet as well as rushing the passer. So it has been nice. It definitely has kept the quarterback. I believe OSU used two timeouts on third down situations where obviously didn't know what was going on. So the key is to keep it going.
Brett, just by looking at the stats, it looks like Penn State is pretty well-balanced offensively, about 150 yards rushing a game, 270 through the air. And it looks like Matt McGloin's kind of figured some things out, too.
Yes, he's, you know, if you take a player from, you know, last year to this year, but more importantly from first game to this game where we're in right now, he really, I think, understands the role that he has as the quarterback in that system. He makes some decisions at the line of scrimmage. I think he's even made some false keys and reads, you know, to kind of mess with some DBs during the course of it. He's obviously very intelligent, a very competitive kid. You saw him react the way he did in that Nebraska game. I mean, he's a guy that wants to win every game, every snap, and you can see why the kids play hard around him.
Jeff, Brett, I don't know if it's a function because of they've had struggles at kicker or not, but they're very aggressive on fourth down. I think they've converted more than you guys have attempted this year.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change your defensive preparation at all, or put more stress on the defense in the game itself?
Absolutely. I think you got to train your kids. It was kind of the exact opposite, you know, but when teams started, like I remember the first time we went against Mike Leach at Texas Tech, you know, who went for it a lot in fourth, you have to change your thinking because you just normally kids think third down, stop, I'm off the field. So you have to practice that during a week. And you know, I don't want to speak for Coach O'Brien, but obviously they had some field goal issues early on, and that allows him, that probably makes the decisions easier to go for it. It's a package. So, and you know, in your defensive call sheet, that fourth down calls used to be there's like two or three lines, and now you got to, you know, prepare for everything that they've given you on fourth down.
That's Brett Bielema from his press conference in Madison about an hour ago. We'll come back. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable, and we do all of the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you up front for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay, so Maryland is in. Rutgers will vote and be in tomorrow. Maryland and Rutgers, starting in 2014, will be in the same division as Penn State. They'll be in the Leaders Division. Illinois is going to go to the Legends Division. They will switch. So one more year of Illinois within the same division as State. Okay, we'll get into a lot of this in the next hour, including that Big Ten teleconference that Jim Delaney will be a part of. Do not expect Jim Delaney to a conference realignment because Rutgers isn't in yet. Do not expect Jim Delaney to get into a ninth game. Rutgers isn't in yet. It's tomorrow's teleconference. Because believe me, they're not going to just have Rutgers come on and not have a teleconference for it. Of course, they have to get the exact same treatment as Maryland today. But Maryland is officially in. They voted. Big Ten voted. Rutgers, it's their turn tomorrow.